So I thought I'd share a few words with you about some aspects of practice that I found helpful. There's two phrases I often use as I'm meditating to encourage presence. One is something like, can this be here? Can this mind state be here? Can this feeling be here? This thought, this mood. And the other is, can I let go of outcome? Can I let go of an agenda with this experience? So these are genuine inquiries rather than demands or imperatives. It's actually a genuine question. Can I let this be here? And I find this helpful, particularly with unpleasant, disturbing, I mean, pretty obvious to me, things that need it. I need encouragement to allow. What often doesn't allow me to let things be here is the very natural movement to not be with unpleasant feeling. And then the other thing is judgment. So if a thought or feeling or reaction comes up, and there's a conditioned reaction to that of it's not okay, it's not appropriate. Just watching that secondary response. So this isn't necessarily saying about just letting these things come up in order to follow them and be in them, but to let them come up because that's the only way I can really see them clearly, connect to them. So, for instance, anger in and of itself isn't supportive. It's not a thing I'd want to promote in myself, but to really understand it, I have to let it come up in my consciousness. I have to make it more visible, allow it to be visible if it's arisen. If it's there, it's not to create these things, but this is like just working with what's coming up on the screen, what's running. Because I very much see practices about understanding conditioning. It's not for me just about trying to find a pleasant, quiet, peaceful experience. Although, it's nice when it happens. For me, that's not the aim of contemplation. It's to try and understand how I am programmed, or the way karma operates. So seeing cause and effect. So this is it's often a question or an inquiry I'll use when I'm first aware of something. Can I be with this? Can I let this be here? And it can be an external, seemingly external situation or internal experience. And that's what I enjoyed about Arden Tito's reference to Mahachitta, because it's possible to find that place which can, to some extent, be with almost anything. Maybe not completely, maybe not fully letting it be here, but at least to some extent, there's always a sense of that which isn't in the condition. Not completely in the agitation or in the anger, but subconsciousness of it as well. And that's a ability to, there's a place that can include what's arising, can allow what's arising and not be contaminated by it. And the other aspect of letting go of outcome is that I find that a helpful encouragement, because I'm not really being with something if I'm already seeking to change it. And I find this attitude arises a lot, particularly with things it's very natural to want to get rid of, unskillful mind states, also feel physically unpleasant. You know, there's something that is pulls away from them naturally. And what else I find helpful about these two things is they help to almost step back a bit from the experience, say the emotion or the feeling. They help remind that it's a condition rather than me and who I am. Sometimes it can just really feel like this is especially a very repeated trait. If this is who I am, this is what I'm known as. And those two phrases, they help me just get some sense of this is a program running as well. It's like a button's being pushed, a contact and a reaction. So that kind of willingness to be my incentive, or what motivates me to want to be with something unpleasant like and churning like anger, is I know that if I can be with it fully enough, if I can really come to a place of being fully conscious of it, nature, it shifts by itself. Its nature is to shift. It comes to a more fuller resolution in myself, rather than if I judged it, reacted to it, and tried to get rid of it. Getting to know it has a different experience, and that I don't mean the analysing it. It's that quality. I feel Ajahn Suchito's been talking about how you connect, how to find the right attitude in terms of mindfulness in knowing these things. It brings a quality of getting the flavour of it and connecting to it just as it is. So with this quality of mindfulness and connecting to experience like anger, I like the image or the metaphor of listening rather than looking at it, of a quality of mindfulness that's more parallel to listening. Because listening isn't like looking at something, it's like you look at one part of it. But sound or listening is inclusive. So whatever sounds are going on in this room, somehow, to a greater or lesser degree, I pick up on them. So it has this more broader quality. So it can listen to the immediate effect of the anger, so the physical, sense the physical effect of that, the thinking, the tone of the thinking, the stream of thinking, and also the judging of the not wanting the anger. And there's also this kind of waiting quality. So listening is slightly more passive than looking. Looking almost has a sort of going out to the experience, but listening is more receptive quality, which I find it allows something to be as it is. So not acting upon it or interfering with it, but receiving it as an experience. Listening. And I find, you know, this is possible with, to whatever degree there's the capacity for mindfulness, it's possible with any mind state. It can be with a sort of rushed, busy, pressured experience, or a very, very quiet experience. And I find where I most lose this quality of listening and attending in this way is with very pleasant experiences. It's very interesting how unmotivated my mind is to notice the conditions around pleasant experience, because I like it, you know. I just want to be in it. So it's there's not the same incentive to be attuned to what's going on there, and it's a very innate reflex just to not. To want the pleasant and not want the unpleasant. So to just not be motivated to investigate or inquire or contemplate the pleasant, but just go there. But the trouble with that is you get the other side of the coin. You're weak, you kind of get the payback when it ends. You know, and the same qualities of mind that develop with unpleasant feeling, mindfulness with unpleasant experiences, exactly this. If they're weak on that side, they're weak on the other side as well, on the being with the unpleasant bit. One reason I value cultivating this ability to be with an unpleasant experience, such as feeling contracted or angry, is there's usually something in that experience that, although there as a condition, there's something that's fueling it and perpetuating it. That isn't immediately obvious. It isn't always immediately obvious. So something like very strong feeling. What we get is the loud noise of it, like the thoughts, the strong thoughts, or the physical sensation. But what I've found is usually there's something that's not so easily heard that's holding the whole thing in place. That's that's why it's spinning on. So, like, sometimes when I feel into something that's I'm very reactive to, so feeling into a negative emotion, what might be under there is something has happened that's really mattered, that's actually held a lot of significance. And it's not necessarily to confirm that, but or endorse that, but to hear it, I find for myself it's very important, because that acknowledgement can often be enough to let the thing rest. Something's seen and heard and received as it needs to be. So I have quite a lot of faith in this way, because it seems to bring things to rest, bring agitation to rest or anger to rest in a way that's not about fixing the anger or correcting. It's about finding out what's keeping the thing fueled, what belief, what attachment. We were talking, Ajahn Sucitto was talking about it a bit earlier, the verb in the First Noble Truth, it's parinya, so in the First Noble Truth there is suffering, and suffering is to be understood, and so this understood is this translation for this word parinya. And it means, as far as I understand, that's sort of several meanings in a way. But the overall intention is how to receive an experience in its entirety, how to know it in a whole way. So when suffering has to be understood, it's how to see the whole of the experience so that it can see what is holding this in place. And the tendency can be to do this from the head, to try and analyze or comprehend from notions from previous experience. But I find genuinely connect to what's happening. It's about going beyond those preconceived notions. How to find to connect to this moment, this thing, this how it is this way now. And I find that most easiest coming out of my head and down into the body, down into the somatic experience, the somatic experience of the feeling that goes along with the thoughts. So there might be thinking, preoccupied, concerned about something or obsessed about something, and there's the content of the thoughts, and then there's a kind of tone to the thoughts of that as well, a kind of push or a retraction, and just going more to that level of which I feel in the body, it's much easier to pay attention to in this way. It's simpler. It's simpler. And for first going to that level, it's not that things are initially that clear. There might just be quite an amorphous sense of that. And not clear doesn't necessarily concur with the sense of what is practicing properly or meditating properly. And that's a kind of judgment in itself. You know, how can I wait for this to emerge to clarity, come to clarity? Can I be with the unclear, unresolved, not fully sensed, experienced of this? So it's more like a following rather than a coming to a defined sense. And usually there is some agenda, some attitude or expectation or wish for things to change, or this some sense of outcome. And so that sort of second suggestion of, can I let go of outcome, is a kind of a reminder of the possibility of letting this thing do what it needs to do. And that sort of chink in the doorway that can allow the unknown, can open to uncertainty. You know, things like fear or anxiety, they have a lot of anticipation in them. My mind goes very much to, they're very linked to anticipating the future. So this sense of letting go of outcome, not invalidating this experience, just because it's here, just because it is this way and it's here. And I find that helpful, just as a not to invalidate that experience's place in my practice. So first of all, you know, with this quality of parinya, of understanding, it begins with just a sort of coming into connection and getting to know bit by bit. You stay with it. It's almost like looking at the sky at night. You know, you look and you see the brighter stars initially, but you stay looking and then you see much more of the night sky emerge and the stars emerge. So I feel an initial part of this quality of parinya is to just wait and see what emerges more into consciousness and getting to know this experience. Just letting go of judging and being with. And at some point there comes a sense of, it's possible to be with it, or there's a greater capacity to be with. And then the energy is more with the the balance of energy shifts from being in the momentum of the thing to being in the witnessing aspect. And that's, I think that's an interesting point, because that's when something starts to land. And for me, there might be something like I get something more fundamental becomes conscious in the experience. Perhaps under the anger, there's a fear of loss. Or a desire or wanting something. And it's interesting when there can, sometimes when that happens, that aspect that wasn't seen before is received. The whole thing kind of goes into the ground. It loses its hold, it loses its grip. So the kind of, that's the second noble truth, is the clinging, seeing where the holding is. where we're still committed in a way. And it's a different quality of things coming to a place of resolution than just by not going to the conditions, by not allowing the things to emerge into consciousness, the unpleasant mind states, the moods or the feelings. It's a different it's a different kind of peace or different result. And somehow it feels connected to energy. There's not a sort of dulling or loss of energy, because these things, these experiences, these mind states, they contain, there's a lot of energy, and it almost feels like that energy is in struggle, or somehow we lose, it's working against us, or this in a way, and it's how to, the result of meeting it and being with it is like we regain that energy. I regain that energy on my side. It's on my side again, instead of giving me a hard time. I find in myself it's so automatic to judge my experience. I have an idea about what practice is, and then there's my experience. What's actually arising for me in an ongoing way, and to bring the practice to the experience, cultivate the kind of qualities of sati that can be with what's actually happening. It's just very helpful to notice that judging. So the judging is like the secondary reflex, isn't it? It's the resistance, not wanting to be bothered as well. Not wanting to... things that are more difficult to just stay with and attend to are things like boredom or sort of like lower grade, not so evocative or stronger reactions, but more like dullness or as inertia or tiredness, and how to find a way of connecting to these in a way where this same process works. Is it things that are more less distinct and not so easy to keep my mind on, I find. But I find when I can do that, it's very, very helpful. Because I think these are the things that can erode basic well-being. And they happen all, you know, every day, all the time in a meeting. You know, it happened the whole time. So it's helpful to be able to find out what's it like just to be with that one. How? There's sometimes I if I'm experiencing something, I find more difficult to accept. There's that something won't receive this as a block to receiving this. I sometimes imagine how would I be with someone else if they were experiencing exactly this feeling. How might I connect to them? When I imagine that, it's quite often a catalyst for allowing that inwardly. And quite often it's just how I imagine I would be with them is just very inactive, but just present. Just listening, but not being active. And that's inwardly letting something be just as it is. I find it's quite an attuning. It's keep trying to find what's preventing that. It's like a non-doing of the things that don't let something be just as it is. Which is the not what thinking something has to be different is very much, I think, linked to being identified with it, having a sense of what this is about myself or me or belongs to me, and the more possible just for me to let the thing be as it is, the more somehow that just naturally diminishes that sense of I better hide this or get more of this, or it's mine in some way. And it's not really about the thing going away. It does that of itself. It's when this kind of resting back on the that which can receive it is where I find the peace can be experienced. I realize just with talking, the trouble with words is they sound so absolute, and obviously it's not so clear in experience. It's just a way of describing something. The final aspect of prunya of under this quality of understanding is, I feel, it's like a natural, a moment comes when the experience has been fully received, when shift happens. It's a sort of natural falling away. It's not forced or contrived. It's because by no longer entering into the experience, it's just not kept running, it naturally moves on. Sort of stepping, it's like stepping out of the affliction, or not being framed by that anymore. And of course, things are just moving through the whole time, and arising the whole time, and caught in them to varying degrees the whole time. Things are constantly arising, even good things, you know, nice things, but whatever. And it's just for myself. It's just what can I be with? What's my capacity? And different conditions change that. Being on retreat is different to being in the office. So for me, this has been a very nice break. It's been a very holiday for me. It's a very lovely holiday. So maybe I think I'll end there.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.